Tango Tango Papa 1650, April 7, 2012.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from Terrell, Texas. Let's see. So the load that I had, I picked up in Lebanon, Tennessee. And then, so I unloaded the first drop last night at, or yesterday, late yesterday afternoon. At New Albany, Mississippi, and then the rest of the load, which was actually the bulk of the load, came here to Terrell, Texas. And so it took them a long time. I didn't ever think I was going to get out of there. It took them a long time to unload the load, but they finally got it unloaded. And so there's a TA truck stop not too far from where I unloaded at, and so I came on over here, found a place to park, and they got a pretty good sized parking lot at this TA truck stop, and so I kind of found a place to park in the back. And they never did, earlier today they never did send a any kind of a pre-planned load, and I guess this may be a holiday weekend. I don't know. Friday, I guess since it's Good Friday, I don't know if the mail, you know, like if the banks and the post office were closed or not. I really don't know. And, I guess if this was Good Friday, then Sunday has to be Easter, I would assume, if I've got my holidays correct. So I don't know if there's a Monday holiday. I don't know. But so it's possible that because of the holiday, the holiday might have kind of screwed the loading schedules up. But regardless, I'm kind of bumping up against my hours in my logbook. So it's just as well that if they don't come up with a load tomorrow, or I'm sure they'll probably come up with something, but if they don't, it's not going to be the end of the world, because I really kind of probably need to let my logbook rest a little bit and kind of catch up. So anyway, pretty nice day today. Sun was shining all day. I spent the night last night at West Memphis, Arkansas, and I don't know, it got a little cool overnight. I think this morning it was 49 degrees there, and then I think it got up and probably into the low 70s, maybe the mid 70s, and then I'm not sure what the temperature here is tonight. I'm just guessing. I haven't looked, but I'd say I'm guessing it's in the 60s here at Terrell, Texas this evening. So, pretty nice weather, very dry, and as I say, the sun was out all day today. Before I go on, I want to talk a little bit about GoToMeeting with HD Faces. With everyone on the go, holding an impromptu meeting can be virtually impossible. Not anymore. With GoToMeeting by Citrix, you can host your meeting online from your computer while your attendees join in from any computer or an iPad, and now from an iPhone or an Android mobile device as well. With the GoToMeeting app, anyone can attend your online meeting sessions. They just tap the email invitation and they'll instantly join. It's that easy. You can see the host desktop right from your smartphone or tablet, so you can attend meetings on the go while you're in a taxi, waiting in an airport, wherever. I highly recommend GoToMeeting. It will change the way you work. I want you to try GoToMeeting free today. Go to the App Store or the Android Marketplace to download the free app and start joining GoToMeeting sessions from anywhere. And host your own meetings with a free 30-day trial. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, use the promo code PODCAST. So that takes care of that. So, anyway, I don't know. I was thinking about a number of things the past few days. One of the things that I ended up thinking about today was sort of as a result of encountering people that self-sabotage. You know, I run into different people, and a lot of the people I run into, obviously, are truck drivers, and most, not all truck drivers are decent, but a good chunk of them are, and, you know, just kind of decent people, and they're mostly, I think they're pretty, you know, a lot of them are pretty honest people, but nonetheless, they end up kind of self-sabotaging, and... You know, I was talking to this driver just a while ago this evening, and while I was waiting to get unloaded, and this guy, you know, he's talking about his cell service and what have you, and he had Sprint, you know, which I have Sprint, and he said, oh, I just have all these dropped calls and big, you know, he's got areas where, the way he was talking, it was just huge areas where there, in some states where there was no coverage and so on and so forth, and he's just not happy with the service. Now, I have Sprint. I'm pretty happy with the service. You know, I don't have that many dropped calls. You know, you're going to have some dropped calls with every carrier, you know, and there's this thing called redial. But this guy was just kind of getting all upset. And I don't know if you... I guess a lot of people think that that's just normal behavior. Normal behavior for people to get upset. But I don't know. If you can ever get away from... being upset, if you realize the folly of being upset and that it really doesn't solve anything, you know, resentment style upset doesn't solve a thing. It just makes you miserable, really. And so then it becomes pretty easy to spot people that are sort of almost looking for situations, or, you know, and if they can't find a situation, they almost, it's like they manufacture situations. You know, they have certain formulas, and they'll actually manufacture situations that they can become upset with, and then they, you know, and then somehow they can get to the point where it makes them feel righteous. It makes them feel good. Their resentment, it's almost like the resentment kind of gives them the opportunity to sort of feel self-righteous. But the problem is, I don't know, it makes them miserable. And they're never happy. And oftentimes you can watch it just disrupt people's lives. Their lives are almost in a constant state of chaos. You know, there are people that, you know, it's like it's always something. Yeah, drama queens. There's, you know, it's always some kind of a problem. Something's always wrong. And life isn't perfect. And you're going to deal with imperfect people. There are imperfect people. There are, you know, imperfect people. And so, therefore, there's imperfect people, places, and things. All of them are imperfect. But rather than looking for perfection, the perfection, the only perfection that, that can exist is the perfection that you have in dealing with those people, in dealing with those places, in dealing with those things. And you deal perfectly with people, places, and things by giving up resentment, by not having the resentment reaction. But people have a hard time, a lot of people have a hard time giving that up because it's judgment. And the wrong side of your ego is so easily addicted to judgment that it, you know, you'll come up with all kinds of excuses and you'll say, oh, well, I'm not judging and what have you. And I know, you know, and I've had plenty of people that tell me, oh, I know I don't get upset and blah, blah, blah. And then they turn right around and it's obvious that they are. It's obvious that they do. But it causes you to, if you do that, it causes you to self-sabotage. And I don't know. It's really, I don't know. It's unfortunate that people do that. But it's very difficult to try to talk them out of it. Probably impossible. You know, difficult to, you know, because they got to see it themselves. People really, but in order to see it themselves, they've got to want to see it themselves. And in order to want to see it themselves, they're, unfortunately, they're probably going to have to be miserable. They're going to have to self-sabotage to the point where they've just, you know, they're sort of sick and tired of being sick and tired. And, you know, you can try, you know, try to talk sense to people like that. But people do have a tendency, I don't know, I see people all the time that seem to self-sabotage. And if there's not something wrong, it's almost like they'll create something wrong so that then they have something to judge. While I was waiting earlier today, I was at this subway. I stopped at this truck stop and there was a Subway in there, and so I decided to get a sandwich at Subway. And so I was in line, and then there was this woman in line behind me, and I looked at it, you know, I wasn't even paying attention at first, but it was a grandmother with a daughter, and you know, her granddaughter, you know, and this granddaughter was probably, I'm guessing, about two years old, some, you know, just maybe 3 years old, possibly. And so the grandmother was saying, oh yeah, jump around, you know, work all that energy off, you know. And then the grandmother was kind of egging her on a little bit. And then not too long after that, she, you know, oh, get up off the floor, you know, and then so on and so forth. And so she had kind of egged the granddaughter on to get her to kind of show off a little bit. And then it got to the, you know, then she was kind of trying to, you know, discipline her. You know, of course it was just with words, but she was the one that had encouraged her to kind of show off and to, you know, kind of jump all around. And then she comes along after, you know, just minutes later and after the fact, and, you know, is trying to correct her, or, you know, or trying to call her down, or to get her to, but, you know, she had encouraged her to do it. And I see people do that all the time. You know, they'll, especially with kids, they'll the kids kind of maybe minding their own business, or the kid would probably be minding their own business, and then the parent kind of comes along and gets them upset, and then the parent is able to get back up, as gets upset at the kid for being upset, for being a problem, when the parent kind of encouraged them to be the problem, kind of provoked them. You see stuff like that. That's called projection. Making someone else the problem. You know, and people are unconscious. They do these things and they're not conscious. A lot of times people are just simply not conscious of what they're doing because they're in denial. Resentment comes packaged with denial. And so, I don't know, people seem to be, there's a lot of people that are walking around, they look like normal people, they might act not like normal people, but when it comes right down to it, they're not conscious. There's something missing. There really is something missing. They're in some sort of a state of denial. And when they're dealing with kids like that, then the kid, you know, it depends. Then the kid sees the kids are usually much closer to being aware that, you know, kids have more consciousness typically than their elders do, as a rule. So the kids see that they see these adults, you know, and kids tend to look at adults as if they're gods. They tend to look at them that way, and they expect them to be perfect like God, and of course they're not, and the kid ends up being sorely disappointed when these adults, their parents, maybe their grandparents, if they're the ones that are kind of paying attention to them or raising them, they kind of have the parent role, and they see this parent or this person being unjust. They see the injustice. And of course, they make the mistake of resenting it. You know, you resent it, you become what you hate. You resent injustice, you become unjust yourself. Whether you like it or not. All who sin are slaves, resentment being the sin. Judgment being the sin. Because resentment is judgment. Harboring animosity is judgment. So, but, you know, and then the other thing that I was kind of thinking about the kids, you know, kids, and I say kids, even, you know, like up into, you know, teenage years, even if the parents are decent and, you know, maybe, you know, there aren't any perfect parents, but, you know, some parents are better than others, but let's say you have a decent parents, or kind of average decent parents. The problem is that depending on the environment that those kids are in, especially if you send them to public school, they're going to be under a tremendous amount of pressure from the outside, from pressure from the kids around them, let's say it's teenagers, especially teenagers that are their age, or it could be younger too. So they're going to be under a lot of pressure, and so if the parents aren't prepared to counter that pressure, then those teenagers really do, you know, that they're, depending on the environment they're in, they can really end up kind of losing their identity, you know, kind of, you know, or having less of a chance of finding it. Because at that age, they're probably going to end up being pretty easily influenced by the outside. They're kind of externalized. So they're under a huge pressure from the outside world to kind of conform. And so all of this silly pop culture kind of ends up infecting them. But I've said it before and I'll say it again, now this is coming from someone that doesn't have kids, never has had kids, likely never will have kids. It ain't going to happen. However, knowing what I know now, if I ever did have kids, there is no way I would send them to public school. I'd either find a good private school and pay for it, or I would homeschool them. But I would not feed them to the public school system. It's a cesspool. It's a hellhole. It's a den of iniquity. Parents who feed their kids to the public school system don't love their kids. It's very simple. You know, if you really love your kids, and love is not kissy kissy, huggy huggy, here have an Xbox. When it comes right down to it, love isn't really even an emotion. There really is no such thing as love. You know, we don't even know how to define it as human beings. We think it's some kind of, you know, affection or something. And it's not. Not when it really comes right down to it. If you love someone, you do the right thing by them. And if you really love your kids, if you really love your kids, by definition, you have to love God first, or you cannot love your kids. And you don't love God the way you love ice cream. You don't love God the way you love your stupid reality show. You don't love God the same way that you love your silly Dancing with the Stars show. If you really love your kids, then you want them to have the same relationship, the chance for the same relationship that you have with your Creator. That's why you have to, in order to be able to really love your kids, you already have to have a relationship. You already have to be bonded with your Creator in order to really love your kids, to even kind of have an inkling of what it is. Because really loving your kids means that you will want to have them have the opportunity to develop their God-given identity so they can develop their own bond. Your goal as a parent is to help them develop their own bond with their Creator. The same way that you've got a bond with the same Creator. In other words, you've made a trip back to the factory, and then you put them in an environment so that they have the opportunity to go back to the factory. Meaning going back, you know, going back to their creator. Finding salvation. So, anyway, and then I was listening to Roy Masters. You know, I he's got this blog talk radio, and there's a podcast, and I do make a point of downloading all the episodes, but I just once in a while I'll listen to one of the episodes if it looks like it, you know, it's got an interesting name, or you know, or the description looks like, you know, it might be something that it was interesting that he talked about. But I was listening to this one episode, and he was kind of describing what we, you know, kind of us as human beings. And I, you know, I didn't write it all down. I'm just kind of quoting this from memory. But here we are. The dust assembled itself into a creature. And the creature somehow became aware of its own existence. With the opportunity to be what that force that assembled us from the dust created us to be. We are the only creature on this world that is aware of her own existence, that has a choice. And how you can deny the utter miracle of our existence, the utter miracle of the fact that we're aware, how you can deny that is really beyond me. You've really got to be in a state of some kind of chaos, some kind of state of denial, in order to try to imagine that it just all kind of happened somehow, just sort of randomly happened or whatever. Another thing he said, and I agree with him, you know, the universe is on a scale we can't imagine. The distances between, just in our own solar system are just unimaginable. And then you start talking distances between stars, and then distances between galaxies, it's completely unfathomable. So we're like a little, you know, us as human beings, we're just like less than a little dust speck. Yet somehow, by some miracle, we have this very large, or at least potentially very large, awareness. We're aware of our own existence. How can we be aware of our own existence? Because we're given to be aware. And it's not an accident. The story of our lives has already been written. The story of your life, the story of my life, those stories have already been written. But what prevents that story what stops that story from coming into existence goes back to resentment, goes back to playing God in your own mind, goes back to driving a wedge between yourself and what you see as a guilty conscience. If you can get the wrong side of your ego out of the way, the story of your life, that story that's already been written, that story can come to life. But you have to want it. You have to want that more than anything. And that means that you're willing to give up playing God in your own mind. So, anyway, I think I'm going to go ahead and cut this off and see if I can get it published. Get headed to bed, and I don't know if they'll probably be sending a load sometime here Saturday morning. So, as I probably need to be getting to bed, and I don't want to sleep half the day away, stay up all night and then sleep half the day away. I don't want to do that. So anyway, hope everyone is having a great weekend so far, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.